supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salamun alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about haste in Islam. Be with IRIB English Radio.
So blue upon my eyes with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new start. I feel so positive. Just wanna do my best to show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do.
Many things, yeah.
That can make me feel so close to you.
To you, to you, to you.
Oh. Within my heart can be removed.
Within my heart.
Today is Saturday, is the 3rd of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of the month of Ordibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to chapter Kaf, verse 66 to 69.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا.
Moses said to him, May I follow you on the condition that you teach me from what you have been taught of sound judgment?
قال إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا.
He said, Indeed, with me you will never be able to have patience.
وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا.
And how can you have patience for what you do not encompass in knowledge?
قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا.
Moses said, You will find me, if Allah wills, patient, and I will not disobey you in any order.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This holy verse indicates that the capacity of persons concerning information is different. Therefore, in giving the cultural responsibilities to individuals, competences should be known, and weaknesses must be notified of. It is possible that with the help of Allah, and by means of patience, the necessary growth and development can be obtained. And also, we must not forget the will of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, for what we are going to do in the future. And we should say, if it be the will of Allah, inshallah.
Some might say this world today shows God's left us to our mistakes, oh. He has never been so far away, some might say. How could any father stand, see his children across billions, suffer so, give no helping hand, no helping hand. And somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. And deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise? Reaching out to the heart that's in you. And
Warning against haste. We're gonna speak about this. There are two kinds of haste. One commendable, which is hastening to do righteous deeds, and the other reprehensible. Haste cannot make Allah's decree occur ahead of its due time. No matter how relentlessly people may pursue its occurrence, Allah exalted be He says, Indeed Allah has set a measure for all things. Chapter Talaq, verse 3. Hastening the fulfillment of one's needs and wishes is an inborn quality and part of human nature. Allah says in chapter Anbiya, verse 37, Man is created of haste. Reprehensible haste is that which occurs in other than acts of obedience to Allah. It is a weapon that Satan uses against man, and it leads to nothing but loss and remorse. The Prophet, may Allah peace and blessings be upon him and his family, said, Deliberateness is from Allah and haste is from Satan. One will reap nothing but remorse as a result of haste.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-Sain. In this episode, we are going to talk about making haste as viewed from the perspective of Islamic instructions. We know that sometimes we may have delayed in doing some of the businesses or jobs that we are expected to fulfill or carry out. Now, because of any problem or owing to certain problems, we may not be successful to do everything on time. Because of this, in order to compensate and in order not to fall behind our schedule or schedule, we usually make haste. However, in contrast to or the opposite point of making haste is being patient and patience. In this regard, we find that making haste in order to do something without all the requirements be ready and without the appropriate time to arrive is morally an abominated moral trait. It means that so long as a condition isn't that ready for us to do something, we shouldn't make haste to carry it out, because prior to any proper condition, we may not receive any good result.
One light, one hope, one heart, one soul, one chance to know, one time to go.
Just one call from my heart pulls me to a world apart. There's just one word that I hear, one trumpet calls me near. When the spring has been unwound, what is lost will soon be.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and our topic is haste in the words of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. With haste, errors abound. The hasty one is in the wrong, even if he acquires what he seeks. The one who rides on the moment of haste is on the verge of stumbling. And we have another quote, one who acts hastily falls into error.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Look before you leap. Write down the facts. Before you decide to take action, write out what happened. Who's responsible and your desired outcome. Highlight anything that's factual and discard the rest. Once you get clear on the facts, you can look at the situation from a less emotional point of view and respond based on what actually happened versus what you thought may have happened. Have a level-headed colleague on call. When we are embroiled in a stressful situation, an objective opinion helps us avoid assumptions and impulsive decisions. Enlist a trusted colleague who has a good track record for making high-stake decisions and knows about your challenges. Call, text, or email to explain the situation. Share your ideas. Hear theirs. Look at all angles and weigh your next step.
Now, we understand from an Islamic point of view that there is a relationship between the thoughts that we think, what we believe, and the decisions that we make and eventually the decisions that we make, if we repeat them on, and if we put work into it, those become the governing factors in the trajectory of our life, the direction that our life takes. So, you know, there is, from the Islamic perspective, a methodical way of understanding how our thoughts evolve into decisions. But before we go into that, I want to share with you, what does that look like from a psychological perspective? So there's a quote that I want to share with you by Viktor Frankl. And for those of you who are familiar with the name, I've mentioned him a few times. He's a psychoanalyst who survived the Holocaust. And he wrote in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he says the following, and I want you to think about this. He says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. So stimulus and response. Think about it. If someone was to walk up to you and poke you, right? That would be a stimulus. The response would be you jumping out of your place or you striking back. So the stimulus, right, is what the cause is. And then the response is the effect of that cause. He says there is a space between it. Now think about that. As small as it is, it exists. It's something that exists. In that space, this is the continuation of his quote, lies our freedom and power to choose our response. In those choices lie our growth and our happiness. So you have stimulus and you have response. And most of the time we think about it as an automatic process or even an unconscious process, the way that we respond to the stimuli in our life. Now, whether that stimulus is something physical or if it's something emotional, if it's something that engages you intellectually, it's something that's intellectual, and so you start to think a different way, that's stimulus and response. Most of the time, you know, we tend to believe that process, you know, the development from stimulus to response is automatic and it's unconscious. Well, for the vast majority of people, it is. But what he's saying here is that between those two, there's a space. And in that space, no matter how small it is, whether it's a millisecond, whether it's a minute, whether it's an hour, whether it's a week, in that space lies our freedom, right? And power to choose our response. In those choices lie our growth and our happiness. So the thoughts that we think are the stimulus. Our response is the way that we respond is an effect of that stimulus. But between the thought and between that behavior or that decision, there is a space, and that space is controllable.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah. بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات نعلو به درجات
Food for thought.
Salam, dear friends, and here is a fresh food for thought for you today in the form of an excellent aphorism from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. May I lead you to the best moralities of this world and the life to come? These moralities are to regard him who disregarded you, give him who deprived you of his best walls, and pardon him who wronged you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Hopefully, inshallah, we all had a good Eid and, you know, we can continue and hopefully focus our efforts in the rest of the year, inshallah. And again, the dua we make is that hopefully we see another holy month of Ramadan, inshallah. Before the holy month of Ramadan began, we were discussing a tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam on what was known as the Hadith of Junud, Aql wa Jahl, on the Hadith that mentions the armies of the intellect and the armies of foolishness or idiocy or ignorance. And we've been going through certain traits and certain of those, you know, groupings or those, you know, battalions that these armies contain. Obviously, some for the intellect and some for, you know, the ignorant, or the other side, the opposite of it. And we were discussing it and trying to, you know, try and understand, you know, what is, rather, what are those characteristics that we should instill in ourselves, and what are those characteristics that we should, you know, push away from us. And hopefully the month of Ramadan aided us in this, and that some of the things that were mentioned, for example, understanding, for example, you know, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having tama' and this extreme desire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we were able to kind of inculcate in ourselves. In this part of the tradition, the Imam says that, again mentioning one of the battalions of the Aql and its opposite, and that which is in direct conflict to it, so its direct, you know, opponent. The Imam says that, talks about restraint, or what is known as chastity or iffah. And the Imam says that the iffah and its direct opponent is what is known as tahattuk, basically shamelessness, you know, just, you know, not having any concern of what a person does and not having any restraint, you know, just being completely, you know, free, but in a bad way. So here, what is iffah? Iffah is that ability for a person to control his lustful desires. He has it, the ability to not just, you know, let it roam and run around free, which is the opposite. That a person does not have restraint. He just, whenever he sees something that he's lusting for, he just goes to it. Whether it is halal or haram, whether it is allowed or forbidden. Whereas iffah is that particular trait that is inculcated in a person that allows him to satisfy his carnal desires, his lusts, his wants, and his needs in a halal way. For example, in getting married. For example, in seeking the path and the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put him for him. So in this part of the tradition, the Imam mentions iffah, or chastity, and that which is in direct conflict of it, which is tahattuk, or this, you know, just being free and have no concern, or shameless. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the good and to remove from us the bad. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, a program which aims to make us more familiar with the Holy Quran. This program consists of many interesting parts. We are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter. An expert of the tajweed of the Quran will analyze the recitation. And also, in the final part, we will have amazing stories about those people whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran. Meanwhile, we will listen to some quotes of the late Imam Khomeini about the Noble Quran. You're tuned to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and I, Mahdi, ask you to stay tuned. According to Imam Khomeini, the important thing is that Muslims act according to Islam and the Quran. Islam embodies all that relates to the cultivation of human values, as well as matters concerning man's life in this world and the hereafter. Concerning the Holy Quran, Imam Khomeini has said, "Do not neglect association with the Holy Quran, this divine book of light, because whatever the Muslims have had in the past and may have in the future is by the grace of this sacred book." Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Adiyat, recited by Brother Qasim Razi'i.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ صدق الله العلي العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to Surah Al-Adiyat by Brother Qasim Razi'i. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal 'adiyati dhabha. Now, in the first verse of Surah Al-Adiyat, we have dhabha. Dhabha, we have a letter of qalqala. The ba is sakin, so we have to make sure that the sound of the qalqala is heard. That means right when you pronounce the ba, the lips come apart so that the sound of ba is heard clearly. Dabaha. And also we have waqful ibdal here, which means that if we stop, we have to pronounce the ha with an aliful mad. But if we don't stop, we have to pronounce the tanween al-fath normally. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا. Now here, I connected the first verse to the second verse, and you notice that there is an ikhfa of Nun Sakna taking place here. ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ. So we have to get rid of the place of articulation of Nun Sakna first, and then we have to approximate the place of articulation of Fa, and at the same time we have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدَحَ. Again, we have a letter of قَلْغَلَ. قَدَحَ, this time it's دَال. قَدَحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبَحًا فَأَثَرُنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطُنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا. In all of these verses where we have a تَنْوِينُ الْفَتْحَ, it's always followed by the letter fa. So we have to keep on applying ikhfa of nun sakina while we approximate the place of articulation of the letter fa. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Innal insan. We have a nun which is mushaddad, therefore you have to pronounce it with ghunna. Innal insan. Insan again is ikhfa of nun sakina. لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودَ. We have وَقْفُ iskan here. لَكَنُودٌ becomes لَكَنُود as a result of وَقْف. Therefore, you have to apply قَلْقَلَ. لَكَنُودَ. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدَ. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدَ. Again, the دال becomes ساكن as a result of وَقْف. And we have قَلْقَلَ of دال. And we have ishba' of ha al damir, innahu. The ha is preceded by a letter with a fatha, therefore we have to pronounce it with a waw al mad. Wa innahu li hubbil khayri la shadid. Hubbil khayri. The ra is pronounced with tarqiq because the ra has a kasra. Afala ya'lamu idha bu'thira ma fil qubur. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ. The عَيْن is ساكن. We have to make sure that there is no قَلْقَلَة and it's read with توسط. يَعْلَمُ. Instead of saying يَعْلَمُ or يَعْلَمُ. يَعْلَمُ. إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Again, بُعْثِرَ, the عَيْن. We have to make sure that it is completely ساكن and it's read with توسط, not with شَدَّة or رَخَاوَة. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. Now we have إِخْفَاء of ميم ساكنة in the phrase رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ. Now what we actually do is that we bring the lips close to each other as if we're about to close them, but we don't actually close the lips completely. We allow a small space to be in between the lips. And at the same time, we make a nasal sound while holding the lips in this position for two vowel counts. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this segment of Let's Recite the Quran. I invite you to listen to the next segments of this program.
كتاب الله
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, in this episode we would like to look at another verse of the Holy Quran, a verse that shows, or rather that
indicates every single aspect of Islam. The verse in question is again from Surah Nur, which is the 24th Surah of the Holy Quran, verse number 52. The verse translates as such, that whoever obeys Allah and His Apostle and fears Allah and is wary of Him. Wary again is has taqwa, is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment of his life. It is they who will be the triumphant. They will be, as the verse says, of the fa'izun, the victorious one, those who gain salvation. So this verse of the Holy Quran, according to certain scholars, contains the entirety of Islam. It contains the entirety of what a Muslim should and should not do in terms of the wajibat, in terms of the, you know, compulsory actions, the recommended actions, the sunnah. Why? Because obey Allah and obey His Prophet. You know, the obligatory and the sunnah and the recommended. So what has been reported by one of the Sunni Mufassirin or commentators on the Holy Quran by the name of Zamakhshari. Now Zamakhshari is a very famous, very profound scholar in Arabic, and his tafsir, which is known as Kashaf, is a very important tafsir in terms of the linguistic miracle of the Holy Quran. And he himself is a very, you know, profound and a very high level scholar in terms of the Arabic language. So Zamakhshari, under this verse in his tafsir, brings a story. He says that one of the kings, or rather of the sultans, or one of the, you know, padishaha, whatever you want to call them, rulers of that particular time, asked one of the scholars of his era that, bring for me one verse by which if I practice upon it, it will be sufficient for me. Just one verse from the Holy Quran that, you know, if it shows everything. And by doing so, I won't be in need of no other verse of the Holy Quran. Just one verse, if you bring it, you know, this is sufficient for me. If I act upon it, I will be of the saved ones, of the fa'izun. So the scholar brings this verse, and he recited this verse for the king. That is the 52nd verse of Surah Nur, the 24th Surah of the Holy Quran, which states, whoever obeys Allah and His Apostle and fears Allah and is wary of Him, it is they who will be triumphant. And he says to this individual, and he said to the king, that there is no other verse. Rather, this is the verse that if you act upon it, it will be sufficient for you. You will be in need of no other verse. Inshallah, until our next segment, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you
he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of teenagers. And the answers are mostly based upon the Quran and the narrations of our beloved Imams alayhim as-salam. I'm Hasnain, and we have in the studio our guest speaker, Sheikh Farman Ali Ma'soumi. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawdha Ilmiya Qom. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Brother Farman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So Brother Farman, one of our listeners has written to us that what does Islam say about teenagers giving importance to their physical appearance? So this is another question that many parents have nowadays. So what do you have to say about it?
Yeah, again, I would like to say that totally Islam says, you know, you have to always have a good appearance, physical appearance, yeah. Mm-hmm. Islam emphasizes using perfume always. Even for namaz, Islam says if you are praying your salah with perfume, its reward is, if I do not mistake, hadith says 70 times more your prayer will have the reward, a single prayer. So, you know, an-nidhafatu min al-iman.
True.
One of the very famous ahadith, if it is not ahadith, but it is very common saying, So, cleanliness and having a very good physical appearance is very good. So, in this age, in teenage, they are, as I said, more sensitive. They are very sensitive about their physical appearance, They see themselves in their mobile selfie camera, capturing selfies. So, Islam says, it is okay. As long as it is normal. As long as they do in a normal way. You know, but if they give it priority upon their, you know, wajibat and other things, duties, then it is problematic. Otherwise, it's okay. Because Islam also says, you know, خُزُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ.
Okay.
Islam says wear nice clothes and have a very, very nice physical appearance and go to the mosque. And for, you know, gatherings and in your families also between wife and husband and children, Islam always says be very nice, clean, and have a physical good appearance. So our teenagers, they pay more attention, so it's okay. So let them pay attention to their physical appearance. And hadith also say always, you know, it is a good thing for them. You know, this is their demand of their age. So let them spend time. Let them, you know, comb in front of mirror, and let them, you know, put perfumes and creams and, you know, a lot of these makeup things. Especially, you know, if you are a girl, they are very sensitive, more sensitive than boys. So as long as it is, you know, not haram, then they are allowed and it's okay. So you have to compromise with them regarding this issue.
Thanks so much, Brother Farman. So dear audience, let's take a short break over here and we'll be right back after that.
Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat.
Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, wear clothes and beautify yourselves. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beauty, and He loves beautification.
Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiya al-Khayrat.
Welcome back, dear audience. And before the break, we were discussing that it's not a problem that children paying attention to their physical appearance. Brother Farman, please continue.
Paying attention is a very, very positive thing.
Yeah.
As I said, there are a lot of ahadis regarding combing your hair, brushing your teeth, and having, you know, clean clothes.
Like, in fact, Islam says us to you know, maintain good
generally maintain good physical appearance. And teenagers, they are very sensitive. They need more time,
true,
so it's okay. There are detailed ahadis, you know, about nail cutting and using perfume and, you know, using oil for your hairs and even, you know, having good shoes. So which shows is, again, Islam is such a beautiful and detailed religion,
true,
which gives you very, very details about each and every aspect of your life.
That's
you
true,
know,
yeah.
Your social life, your personal life, your, you know, family life. So regarding teenagers also, we have that they are like a flower, you know.
Okay.
And a flower needs more attention.
That's right, yeah.
You know, a lot of sun heat can, you know,
yeah,
have bad impact on it, and a lot of water destroys it. So you have to be moderate, you know.
True.
It means you have to be very cautious and careful about
everything,
your teenagers.
Everything has to be in the right proportion.
Right way and right time. So if you have a girl, so be careful about makeup and physical appearance, which is haram, which is not allowed in Islamic religion. So,
so the hijab should be
hijab should be there, and the haram things you have to avoid, and you have to teach her that these things are haram. You can't use this makeup, you know, in front of non-mahram.
Yeah.
And these things are allowed. And if you have a boy, you know, you have to provide with all the things which he needs, you know, good dressings and a good physical, you know, appearance, good elements for physical appearance.
True.
So Islam emphasizes, and it has a reward also. Look again at the beautiful Islam. You know, you are doing things for your son, for your own self, but again, it has reward and thawab for providing, you know, sustenance to your family and your children, to for providing good clothing to your children. You know, each step you take has a lot of thawab.
Mashallah.
You know, sometimes the hadith say the thawab has more than a hajj, thawab of a hajj you can get. So this is the beautiful religion of Islam. So we have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are in a Muslim family, especially Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the true khulafa of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Raza alayhi as-salam says in a hadith that in general, you have to use perfume on daily basis. You know, in look at the time when our Imam Raza alayhi salam was living, you know, 1,000 some hundred years before. In that time, you know, they didn't have that much perfume.
True.
Yeah, perfume was very precious for them because it was very rare and expensive.
True.
And look at the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt and Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. They have emphasized on having perfume at your home, you know, and using it on daily basis.
True.
And Imam Raza says, if you cannot offer, so once, you know, every second day you have to use.
Every alternate day.
Yeah, alternate day. If that also you can't afford, at least every 3-4 days you have to use the perfume.
Oh, so it's given a lot of importance.
Yeah, given, and perfume has a lot of thawab. And for our teenagers, we have to provide this perfume, you know, always. MashaAllah, nowadays, all the families they have. But I'm emphasizing that if they forget or if they neglect this, they shouldn't do.
Thank you so much, Brother Farman. And thank you so much, dear audience. Let's take a short break over here.
Thank you. This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear audience. And before the break, we were discussing about the importance of using fragrance in a hadith. Brother Farman, please continue.
Yeah. So we were discussing the hadith of Imam Raza, the eighth Imam.
Yeah.
Imam Ali ibn Musa Raza alayhi salam. He said, if you can't afford to have perfume on daily basis, so use every alternate days.
Yeah.
If you can't afford every third day, you have to use.
Yeah.
If still you can't afford, so on Fridays, you know, at least on Fridays you have to use perfume.
Yeah.
So this hadith shows that Friday, why Friday? Because of the prayers, Friday prayers.
Yeah.
If you go and you mingle with your friends and with your
society, you need to smell good.
So which again shows that Islam emphasizes on these very, very important small details. So another issue regarding our teenagers is we have to give them a role model. You know, a good role model regarding, we are talking about the physical appearance.
Yeah.
And nowadays, our teenagers, they have worldly role models.
Yes.
Yeah, some like football stars or singing stars or film stars, whatever they have. So again, riwayat and ahadith say, do not force them, do not punish them for these things. As long as they are in the limits of Islam, it's okay.
Interesting.
But our parents' duty is to provide them a good role model for their physical appearance also. You know, like we can give them an alim's role, we can show them an alim as a role model, or, you know, a religious, any
person's role model.
So it's easy for them to have. Especially nowadays, we have a lot of films, religious films also there. They have we have good characters.
Yeah, true.
So we can encourage them to use these role models to have a role model for themselves, you know. So this is a very, very vast topic, and we can discuss a lot regarding having a good role model in our life.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, if time allows, inshallah, in the coming episodes, we will talk and discuss.
So thank you so much, Brother Farman, and thank you so much, dear audience. In this program, we're discussing about the physical appearance, and we said that even Islam emphasizes on good physical appearance. It was asked in the question how to deal with that. So we got to know that it's not a problem if the children or the teenagers are paying attention to their physical appearance. And we said that we need to teach them the right way, like to any boy or girl. We need to teach them the limits and the boundaries of Islam so that they don't perform any haram acts. So we said that even in the ahadith, the fragrance and the perfume is given a lot of importance. So we need to provide our children with that. And the last thing which we said was we need to provide children with good role models so that they can follow the right path.